email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we all know dancing is good for the body and the soul, and one man who knows this better than anyone is presenter and broadcaster PJ Kirby. When he's not recording or touring his I'm Grandman podcast with his co-host Kevin Toomey, you can find him in the dance studio, literally throwing shapes, which is actually the name of the classes that he runs with his husband, Jose, in the Liffey Trust Studios in Dublin. I had a little deep dive. They look absolutely amazing. And he's here now to tell me all about it. Hey, PJ.
Hello. I'm 5, 6, 7, go.
And hold and squat. Yes.
Thanks for having me on.
It's great to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, listen. So we know you're one half of I'm Grandmam, and we'll talk a bit about that. But people might be aware of the two of you are dancers, you and
yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we met.
Fans will know that, but tell us more about it.
So we met originally because Kevin came to my dance class. I was teaching hip hop in the mean streets of Cork, you know, because that's where you would expect to find some hip hop dancing down in Cork City. But yeah, I was teaching in UCC and Kevin came to my class, but we both went to dance colleges in London. Yeah, I ended up going over, studying in London, then becoming a professional dancer in London. But then as I got to the end of my 20s, my knees started to get a bit creaky.
Because you're a tall fella.
I'm a tall fella. And imagine being in a room with people 5'7" around and I'm 6'4" and they're like...
Are you 6'4"?
Yeah, and they're like, everyone needs to be the same height.
So I taught dance, and so people come up to me now, I used to go to your class in the 90s. But what I discovered was, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've always fantasized about being a dancer as a younger guy. I noticed that people with a lower centre of gravity tend to last longer, right?
Yeah, the short kings.
The short kings.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just, I am quite big. I'm built like a rugby player, really.
You are.
I picked the wrong profession.
I mean, in our line of work, it's perfect, but like for a dancer, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do love it because it comes in handy when I'm at the 60ths and Betty from down the road wants to spin around the dance floor. She loves me.
You're the only man.
And then my mum's like, money well spent in London, you know?
Pick her up and throw her over
your
head.
Yeah, she loves it. I do now lift every now and again.
Woo.
Now, she just got her new hips, so I have to be careful with Betty.
Yeah.
But she's grand. Just a little Joe the Dirty Dancing one.
Yeah, nobody puts baby in the corner.
You know,
yeah.
No one puts Betty in the corner.
Because you'll lift her out of it.
There we go.
So tell me about dance college. How long were you in dance college for?
So I actually went over to London and I was in Erdang, which is like a musical theatre college. But I'm not a musical theatre gal. So I was more like commercial, like wanted to dance in music videos. Basically, I was reared on like Honey Daniels dance movies, Step Up 1, Step Up 2. So I wanted that fantasy. And then they had me singing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." I was like, no, I don't want this. Okay. So I actually didn't end up staying in the dance college long. I dropped out and started dancing and working in a local dance studio in London.
Okay.
And then got an agent that way and then started auditioning and started dancing in like music videos and stuff.
Did you? Any exciting ones?
I feel like a bit of a dope when I start dropping the names.
Oh, drop the names.
But grab them there. Calvin Harris.
Did you?
Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie.
Yeah,
wow.
But then it's so funny because you spend like years of your life training and like going to so many classes, but then you go to a music video and they're like, okay, can you step click in the corner?
That's all I do. Oh, yeah.
So I did, I danced for a good bit, but then when the podcast started taking off and I started figuring out...
Go back there. So when you guys started I'm Grandman podcast, which is just genius at the time, you were just letting... It's like the phone call. I'm Grandman. Yeah. And you two, you were comparing notes and all that. And then literally you made your mother's absolute stars. Genius. And you exploited them, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. Everybody's winning now. You were both dancing then.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
And it was kind of a way to take control of our creativity because we were going to auditions and like... I'm not great at getting feedback unless it's positive, you know what I mean? So I'd be like dancing my heart and soul out and then they're like, oh, you're brilliant, you're too tall. Or you're too... One guy told me I was too pale and I was like, babe, Sally Hansen exists. I'll just slap her on. Give me the gig, you know?
Don't say you're too pale.
But yeah. But then, it is so cutthroat. It doesn't really matter like how good you are. It's the look and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And sorry, no. I'm not rotten looking,
no.
But they were making me very self-conscious, Brendan.
Yeah, well, you have to learn. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. You have to learn actually to not take it personally.
I know, I did.
When you're younger, you do.
Yeah,
of course you
do. Do I still? Maybe.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm Grandma was a way of us to like take back that ownership, and it was like ours, you know.
Yeah, amazing. So the dance classes you teach, Throwing Shapes, brilliant name.
Thank you.
Brilliant name. It's not your typical dance class. What's the ethos?
So I came back to Ireland after living in London for 10 years and I still love dancing. Like, that's a huge passion of mine. So I wanted to go to a dance class, but I couldn't really find one that wasn't like either full of 16-year-olds or like for professional dancers who take it really serious. And I was just like, I want to have a laugh. So I started it for people who love having a few drinks and hitting the dance floor at the weekend, but then want to do it when they're sober, you know?
Yep.
Or people who dance when they were younger. Shout out my Billy Barry's kids. There's a lot of Billy Barry's, ex-Billy Barry's in there. And they want to come in and just shake a leg again. And when I created the space at the beginning, I was like, oh, I don't know, will people do this? Because, you know, it is quite intimidating going into a room full of mirrors and dancing around the place if you hadn't had your, like, I don't know, vodka coke beforehand. But people are loving it, and the community is just so lovely, and people screaming for each other, and you could see how confident people get week on week, and it's just so beautiful to see.
So you're describing my number one New Year's resolution every year is find a dance class, because I used to teach, as I said, when I was in my 20s for quite a long time. And then I toured Riverdance.
Screaming?
No, but just as a producer. But we had, before you talk about the height thing, the three different companies that were touring at the time were all three different heights.
Really?
Because they all need to be...
Yeah.
They're a chorus line, right?
Exactly.
So there was the tall, the middle, and then the shorter company. That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But honestly, I think a lot of adults would love to do a dance class because yours is over 18s. I love that.
Yeah, no, it has to be. Someone messaged me the other day being like, can I bring my daughter? She's 16. And I was like, no, there's loads of classes for her. Sorry. Because the other day, a man came in and she said, oh, I'm 45. I don't think I should be here. And I was like, why not? I was it's a laugh and you're amazing. Whip your hair and start twerking in the corner, please. You know?
Irish people are shy in public, right? As you said, unless they've had the little bit of Dutch courage. Not that everybody needs that, but just sometimes that's the tradition we would think of, right? So what's the atmosphere like? And if I walk in, am I going to be self-conscious? Is everybody self-conscious the first day?
At the beginning, but you see the growth in them then. Because basically, at the beginning of the class, I just say, the only rule is you can't be mean to yourself. Irish people love to rip each other apart, rip themselves apart. Just for an hour, just leave that person who's in your brain outside.
Brilliant.
And can we just be nice to ourselves for an hour?
Yeah.
And then also, I always say, like, we're trying to get back to that five-year-old, you know, who used to push your parents onto the couch and go, watch the dance I just made up, and then do like a mediocre cartwheel, you know, and look how proud you were back then of that. So we're trying to get back to that.
Mediocre cartwheels.
Yeah, that's sometimes my niece would be like, PJ, I need to show you a routine, and then she does it and I'm like, needs work. But I don't say it to her. I encourage her. But you know, we're trying to get back to that confidence.
Lovely. You don't teach with Jose, your husband.
No.
But you kind of work together then?
We want to stay married, so we can't teach together.
Okay.
So, no, he does his class in a slightly different way, but it's the same vibes. He's so open, very general level. So I basically started the classes and then it's kind of a passion project. It's not like my main job.
No.
But then I got really busy with my actual job. So Jose is a professional dancer too. That's how we met. Basically, I met all my people in my life through dancing. Between Kevin and Jose, like. But I asked could he start teaching a few, and then people started loving his classes as well. So now we just split them every month.
Back to Kevin, did you meet in London or did you travel together?
So no, we didn't travel together. I met him. He came to my dance class in UCC in Cork.
Okay.
When he was studying there.
Yeah.
And then the next year he dropped out and started dance college. I'm not saying I inspired him to change his whole entire life, but
sounds
that's
like
kind
it.
Of what happened.
And did you you got married last year?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Your anniversary is coming up now in September.
Isn't Instagram a great thing? I know everything about your life. It's a little flick down your page. I know.
What I want you to know.
The version of you.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't really know you.
No, you too.
How is married life?
Unreal. I love it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I love it so much. I just think it was weird because our wedding was just so special. And ever since then, it does feel different.
Does it?
Yeah. It just feels like we're after making this like stronger, like bond. We're bound legally now. You know what I mean? It is. It does mean something.
Yeah.
And we're really excited. We're going back to where we got married in Inishbeg in West Cork.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
In September, and we're going to plant a tree. I know, very gay, but we are big homosexual vibes. Oh,
I love it. I love it.
Plant and we love the environment. You know.
Yeah. Make sure you're allowed plant a tree.
Oh no, we are. I'm currently talking to the gardener.
Okay, brilliant. So before we talk about the podcast, you did a TV show.
How to Buy a Home.
Yeah, go on. How was that experience?
Such a laugh.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And I know I'm loving the radio girls, but I love a bit of telly as well. You know, yeah. I'll do it all. But no, I it was so interesting because another thing, when I moved back to Ireland, I realised quickly that the rent was more expensive here than it is in London. And when we went on to this TV show, I was like, am I ever going to be able to afford a house with my husband?
Yeah.
And we found like all different ways that we could buy that house. So Liz, obviously Liz O'Kane, the icon, the legend, the moment, she was actually helping people find houses. And then we were looking at alternative routes people took. So we met this lovely girl, Virginie, in Bantry, who got the derelict house grant.
Yes.
So she's doing up a little cottage. And I was saying, that's a bit of me, I think. I'd do that eventually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Get you up an old building.
Well, hopefully. But if I'm working with Jose and then we're doing up an old cottage, I'm not really giving the marriage a chance. But, you know.
You'll be fine.
It sounds romantic.
Yeah, but you won't be actually doing it, you see. You have a builder, right?
Yeah, and then I jump in for the Instagram pics with the hammer.
Exactly. You know. And the hard hat. What's going on with you guys? You're doing Electric Picnic.
We are.
I'm Grandmam is going to be. Is it your first time?
No, so we did it every year, but we usually do it in the podcast tent. But last year, we felt so bad because so many of the girlies were saying, I'm so hungover, I trekked all the way across Stradbally to see you and I can't get into the tent.
Oh.
So this year we're doing the Electric Arena, which is like way bigger. So
huge.
We're buzzing for that.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And how long will you do?
An hour.
You've done lots of live shows in the Olympian. I haven't seen them yet. How do you pad out the podcast to be a live show? What's the secret?
We treat it more like a live stage production because we're both from like a performance arts background. So we do dance routines, we do like audience participation, and we treat it more like a kind of a comedy show rather than a live podcast. So we're going to do the same for EP.
So you've sold out the Olympia. How many times have you done now?
I think 5.
Oh yeah, wow. You did London.
Which is mad, yeah. We did our first Australian tour last year and I got to see my sister in Perth and it was so lovely. It was my sister's first time seeing us live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you ever have anticipated that the podcast would be a success, like what it is?
Oh no, and it's given me a complex. Like I'm currently speaking to my therapist about how I feel like I'm a fake and that everything's going to crumble down around me, you know?
Oh, stop.
Yeah, but that's what happens, isn't it?
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome, that's what she told me, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you ever grow out of that. I think it's Irish DNA.
Okay.
Notions.
Notions, yeah, you know?
You're not allowed to have notions. Yeah. Okay, so people want to go to the class, which are pretty full, just to say, we are throwingshapes.com as a website.
Yes.
If you go to PJ Kirby's Instagram, he's got a link there as well. You can get through and you can have a look and see if you can get into any classes. I'm going to blag and I'm going to get on the guest list. I don't care.
No, right? You've said this on the radio, so you have to show up.
Oh, I will come.
Promise.
Yeah.
Pinky.
And I wear Lycra.
Yeah, Lycra. Brilliant. So if you're coming to class, you might see Brendan in Lycra.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you later. Let's take a break.